Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Good morning. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ appointed it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he has descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. This is the reading of the word.
Glory to the Lord Most High. Blessed be the Most High God. It's a true honor to be back again. Not by popular demand, but because God wills that we share the word and assemble together in love. If you are able, could we please stand? We're going to pray. As we close our eyes before we pray, I would like for us to have this in mind. Know this, dearly beloved, for whom Christ died, that one day, one glorious day, we will stand before light that pierces through all reasoning and exposes every faint whisper in contemplation of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 reads, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we bless you and we give you thanks. We exalt your holy name because you are true and you have proven yourself to be true. Ages upon ages, generations, O Lord, you have shown how gracious and merciful you are. You have redeemed, you have saved, you have spared lives, O Lord. You have conquered your enemies. We bless you for Christ Jesus, who came from on high, the conquering Messiah, who overcame death, hell, and the grave, the perfect Son of God who laid down his life for us, that we may be assembled in this room, tribes, nations, tongues, creeds of the earth, and singing praise to you as one. This is the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace that is love, love amongst us, because we have peace with you, the eternal God. You have drawn us near, those who are far off, and those who are near, O Lord, you have sanctified by your blood, so that we may all stand as one in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have done all these things for the praise of the glory of your grace, as it has been written. We give you glory, O Lord God, for we are partakers of your mercy. We are enriched and lavished in your love. We are blessed and anointed beyond measure. We have your Spirit. We have a treasure and an inheritance that cannot fade and never shall. If the Holy Spirit is the deposit and the down payment for what is to come, how blessed are we truly. So may your name be sanctified in our midst, O Lord, and may you be sanctified in our minds and in our hearts as Lord. Grant us ears to hear and hearts, O Lord, that are able to sow your word within, the spirit of humility, O Lord, that every heart may be able to produce 30, 60, and 100-fold according to the power of your Spirit and your word. For you have called us to bear fruit and that those fruits may abide. For this is the mark of your disciples, those who abide in the truth. So, O Lord, as we hear the truth, I pray thee, sanctify my mind, my heart, my tongue, O Lord, to speak only what your Spirit wills. For we are here and our hearts are bowed to you and our ears are open to your word. May the light that is Christ Jesus shine in our hearts greater because of this. In his holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I welcome you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, may the peace of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today. The title for today's message is Walk in a Manner Worthy of Your Calling or Live Up to Your Calling. It is important because this passage begins with a therefore. Because God has done so much, because the Father has sent Christ, because he has lavished us in his love in an immeasurable way, because he has sent his Holy Spirit as a deposit who now dwells within us, because he has taken us from the kingdom of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light, because Christ dwells in our heart by faith, therefore, let us live up to the calling. But in order to live up to the calling, we must understand what is that calling and who it is that has called us. This is not a career we have constructed for ourselves. This is not a life choice that we woke up one day with great contemplation and decided to live. This is the Almighty God, the Sovereign Lord, the creator of the universe, he who purposes all things according to his own divine counsel. This is his will and his decision. It is his high calling, as Paul calls it. It is a charge given to us. God sat one day and for eternity past, however you can imagine, the omniscient, the omnipotent God who knows all things well and perfect, who never makes a mistake, he planned a generation in this time, and now here we are. You are the manifestation of the will of God. As God so desired, so are you now in this time. But we cannot walk as those who are absent-minded of the weight of glory and the calling that each and every single one of us possesses. It may look different in route, but there is a general encompassing calling upon the entire church. And that is what we're also going to touch on today. So as I said earlier, we must take heed to the things that we hear. Because as Hebrew tells us, if those in the past in the wilderness did not escape when they turned away from the voice of Moses, how much more shall we not escape if we turn from him who speaks from heaven? Because in this time, the Lord Almighty is now speaking to us through his Son who shed his blood for us. Concerning our walk in Hebrews, the title and the theme has been, If Christ is King. If Christ is King, what then does that mean for his people? If we read of ancient kingdoms, once the king is besieged and taken, that's it. The kingdom is turned over to the conquerors, and they will do whatsoever they please with the nation. Pillage, destroy, it doesn't matter. There is no king to stand for the people. There is no ruler who can stand before the enemy. But we have the conquering king, Christ Jesus, who overcame Satan, the devil, that ancient serpent, who overcame sin and has granted us victory to then walk in him. And I love what Pastor Ellis said before. There is the reality of Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. And then there is the truth of now dwelling in Christ, abiding. And we are going to touch upon that as well. We're going to use a couple examples of Jesus, our perfect example of what it means to live a successful Christian life. And then Paul, who is an excellent example of what it means to walk and to abide in Christ. I'm going to read the passage of today again, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, I'm reading the Amplified Version, no I'm not, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to persevere in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. Now he's talking to a group of people, but he is addressing them as having one singular calling, which is the church. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high after his conquest, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. What does this mean for us? There is a calling that we all have that we are partaking in. And as the church, that calling is vast in its applications. But there is a particular calling which Jesus placed on his disciples as a charge. He said, go into all the nations and make of all nations my disciples, teaching them to observe what I have taught you. That is a command of demonstration. It is not merely speech. It is you must live in a way where they see the invisible God visible. Christ said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. And what is that for us? The Bible says that how God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That is the ministry we have been given as the church, the ministry of reconciliation. We must live in a way that demonstrates, that radiates the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, who now dwells in us. So in this therefore command, Jesus being our perfect example, I read from John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus, praying to the Father, says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work you have given me to do. So then we go back to the question, what is it that God has assigned us to do? Now, this type of passage is vast, because it can touch on individual callings, whether you're called to be in missions, a pastor, evangelist, a prophet, apostle. There are specifics that you will be taught how to function according to the gifts that we just read that Christ has given you. But right now, we're going to touch on the general application of us together as the church. Why do we assemble? Why do we come to hear the word of God? Why are we told to read and to study and to meditate the scripture? What is it that we can accomplish by doing this? Who ought we to be in this life of living in a manner worthy of the calling? Christ himself, having been called by the Father to be the Messiah of the world, the suffering Messiah, he who was to redeem all his people by his blood, purchasing from every tribe, nation, tongue, and creed of the earth a family for God. This is what he is testifying to when he says, I have glorified you by fulfilling the work, accomplishing the work that you have given me to do. There was a specific task and goal for Jesus to accomplish, and he did it. So now, as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 7 through 12, this is going to show us how we, being partakers in Christ, have been transformed and moved so that we may live as Christ has lived, mission-oriented as well. But first, having come out of the state that we were in and knowing who we are in Christ, therefore we can start to see what that calling looks like. It says, therefore, Ephesians 5, verses 7 through 12. It says, therefore, do not be partakers of them, for you were formerly darkness. Not that you only possess darkness, but you were formerly darkness, dead in our minds, dead in our hearts, unresponsive to the light of Christ, to the reality that there is a God who created all things, and that, like Pastor Ellis said, he is King. And his way is the only way. Formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is a disgrace to even speak of the things which are done in them in secret. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Formerly darkness, now called to be light. And we have to understand what that means in the example of Jesus. Who was Christ? What did he demonstrate of God? Christ came to show the invisible Father, and his constant command was love. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And how did Christ love us? He loved us on to the very end of even giving his own life. Do we demonstrate that? Do we seek that? Do we wake up every morning to our brother, to our sister, not just in the body of Christ, but in our own families? Do we wake up to our husbands and wives? Do we wake up to our aunts and uncles and say, today I will love even as Christ has loved me? I will lay aside offenses. I will not easily be angered. I will not seek to strive and to be contentious, but I will love humbly. I will show and demonstrate the character of the Lamb, which is to live in all humility with one another. Because regardless of your specific calling, for us as the body of Christ, this is the nature that we need to demonstrate. There is the reality of working, but not demonstrating Christ. Serving, but doing it for your own pleasure, to exalt yourself, to find position, to find preeminence amongst people, for money. But are you honoring Christ in your heart by living in a manner worthy of the God who has called you and worthy of the calling? Because that is what God seeks. The scripture says that God searches the hearts and the minds. That means beyond your actions, your attitude, even in giving. Paul says it. He says, even if you give your body to be burnt, even if you share all that you have, even if you serve with all diligence, if you do not have love, you are nothing. That may be a hard word to swallow, but it is a loving rebuke from the Lord so that we would correct our path and that we would walk in a way that demonstrates that we truly understand the message of Christ, how we should walk, how we should serve. If we call ourselves Christian indeed, as the Epistle of John says, we must fellowship in the light, and that light is love. What is love? Love is to abide humbly with one another. Love is to edify one another. Love also gives us the power and the capacity to tame the tongue. Scripture calls the tongue a world of iniquity, which defiles the entire body, because the tongue is most closely linked to your heart. Out of the fullness of the heart, the tongue speaks. So you may think it's a mistake, but your very impulse and instinct have just demonstrated what you have within you and what you have hidden. That is why God looks at the inward man, the contemplations of our hearts. We must learn to sanctify ourselves by the power of love, because love is not cruel. Love does not retaliate. Love is merciful and long-suffering. Love enables you to be strong. Being able to go tit for tat with people in insult is not a strength. Being able to break somebody down with your words is not a skill. It's a weakness. It's the inability to control your tongue. Think about how much hurt has been done, not only in the church, personal families, simply because somebody for a moment could not withhold their anger and lashed out with their tongue. This is a great battle for each and every single one of us, because scripture says that of all the beasts, tame birds and fish of the sea, no human being has been able to tame the tongue. Yet God in his lavish love has given us the spirit of self-control so that we will be able to do the impossible and learn to tame our tongues, sanctifying our hearts in the process. How do we do these things? How do we actually live practically in a manner worthy of our calling? Where is the power? Where is the strength? Because we know that the letter kills. If you take the word of God in and of itself with your flesh and you seek to do it by the strength of your own being, you are going to corrupt yourself and you are going to fail. But God has given us his spirit for a purpose. It is not just a down payment and demonstration, but the Holy Spirit is the absolute necessity that we need to live the Christian life. Christ did all things by the Spirit of God. He came into this world and waited until he was baptized and the Spirit fell upon him to begin his ministry. How much more you and I need the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of truth, so that we would not be deceived by our own flesh, deceived by the world, deceived by the enemy, seduced into the old ways, as Paul tells us. Do not again be conformed, as Lauren read in Romans 12, to the old ways of life, but be renewed in the understanding of your mind. What does that look like? Sitting and being still and allowing the Lord to instruct you by his Spirit. We have to learn. The Spirit has been given to us to lead us into all truth, to tell us of things to come, to guide us, to comfort us. Are we taking advantage of this? Or are we going to headstrong run into a wall again and then turn to God and ask him why? Why it hurts so bad? There are many parents in this room. Sometimes you watch a child do the same thing over and over again until they learn. But God has given us wisdom that we would not repeat mistakes and increase our own wounds, but that we would turn to him and turn to his Spirit and understand what it means to live by the manifold wisdom of God. It is the wisdom that sanctifies us. In order to live in a manner worthy of our calling, to be the church, to walk in holiness, to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God to the principality, powers, and rulers in the heavenly places, to spread the love of Christ, to preach the gospel, to love one another unfailingly. In order to be the church unified as one, we need the Holy Spirit. It is the unity of the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit. He has come with the grace of God. Jesus has torn the division between us and has appeased the wrath of God so that we may all share in this unity and in this peace. We learn to walk by learning to walk with the Spirit of God. We must abide. And the complexity and what was kind of hard with condensing this message is there are so many ways to speak about it and to teach about it. And there are so many examples of it. But there is a common theme that you will find, and it is to abide. Abide in the Lord. Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. He said, no branch can bear fruit of its own, only when it abides in me. So abide in me so that you may bear fruit. And this is what we need. We need to learn to abide in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What does that look like? And here enters that word that we throw around a lot. It is faith. Faith, the conviction of the truth of the word of God. Are we living in a manner that demonstrates the conviction of our amen to the truth and the revelation of Christ in our lives? Are we abiding in that conviction? Where are we stumbling? What is a stumbling block to us? What is hard to us? What is a hindrance to demonstrating the love and the call of God in our lives? It may be a lack of faith. And lack of faith comes from a lack of understanding. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. so that he may instruct us, so that he may reveal the truth to us, so that we may understand clearly, because to have even the simplicity of error can cause chaos in the way we walk in this world. That's all the enemy needs. He just needs you to make a simple mistake. What you think may be simple, but that seed will grow and it will continue to grow and it will corrupt the understanding that we have. But again, God has given us of his spirit so that his light may conquer the darkness that our own hearts and that this world constantly seeks to bring us back into. We need to learn how to walk with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is different from the Father and different from the Son. Jesus said, you can insult the Father, it will be forgiven to you. You can blaspheme against the Son, it will be forgiven to you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you, neither in this age or in the time to come. Why is that? What is this sensitivity for? And I pray to God that this understanding is true, but the Spirit of God is the Spirit of holiness. And how can two walk together lest they agree? We must learn to walk with the sensitivity of how holy our God is. In our minds, in the contemplation of our hearts, in our instinct, we must know that God is holy. And from that, the fear and the reverence of the Lord is to be born in us so that we may live a righteous and a holy life in this world. Beloved, as the church, called, destined, the pillar of truth, to share the truth of God with the world, we must have a heart that is pure so that the word of God may abide in us. In one of the earlier passages of Ephesians, he writes, "May God grant you with all power so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." There is a working of the Spirit necessary in us. There is a necessity of power in us so that the truth of Christ may abide, the words, the principles, the Spirit, the life of Christ. We talk about that resurrection power that was able to overcome sin and able to live beyond the grave. It's like that working within us, that power, the Spirit of humility, so that we do not resist the Lord, resist his voice, resist the word. Resist the the prompting of the Spirit. We need to have that power working within us, the Spirit of revelation, to understand what it is that Christ is actually saying. So we've all have lived and seen the word of God corrupted, twisted, used to destroy, used to oppress other people. But we need the Spirit to teach us in love how to maintain, how, like Paul says, to properly divide the word of truth, so that we would not be ashamed. We would not be those who are using our freedom as a cloak or using the word of God to deceive or for our own gain. We need this power working within us. We need to stand before the Lord and practice prayer, practice reading the word, practice meditation, and sit in his presence and sit in his presence. That's why I'm glad we are doing this Lent fasting together. It's going to give us a time to turn off the TV, to put our phones aside, to sit in boredom, and to see just what it is that our hearts begin to contemplate, what it is that we tend to lean towards when we are uncomfortable, when we are not stimulated, so we can see ourselves. The Bible calls us to look into the mirror of truth and to not be those who, after having looked in the law of liberty, get up and walk away forgetting what manner of man they were. The simplicity of it is waking up in the morning, looking in the mirror, eye boogers and all, drool, and you just leave. It's like taking no time to properly assess, to wash, to cleanse, to use the word of God, to truly, you know, remove and uproot and circumcise. We are partakers in this work. We are called co-laborers. There is an action that we must do. That is why there is the therefore you now walk. You behave like this. You think in this manner because it is essential for your life in this world. Beloved, we have an enemy that does not sleep. We have an enemy that is ancient, who has deceived the entire world. Take a time, pause, and look around through the lens of Scripture and the truth. What do you see? Look at the corruption. Look at the suffering. Look at the oppression of the weak. Look at it. Behold it. How desensitized have we become to these things? And we walk by it. We go about it. We stimulate ourselves with other forms of entertainment. But when Christ comes and we must give account, he will ask us, what did we do when we saw the injustices? What did we do when we saw the poor? What did we do when we saw our brothers and sisters suffering? This is how we live in a manner worthy of our calling, by allowing love to cause us to be sensitive again and using the power of the Spirit and the Word of God to go out, to reach out, to do good, yes, but to do the greatest good and partake in the greatest miracle, and that is the salvation of a soul. We must co-labor in the salvation of souls. We are all here rejoicing gladly that we are saved, and praise God indeed, hallelujah, that we are saved. But what about the next? What about your brother or your sister? What about the backsliding Christian that you know? What about that soul? Does your heart start to ache? Do you have the burden of Christ in you to pray, to stop for a moment in what you're doing and to ask God for their forgiveness, to reach out to that brother or sister and to just speak to them? We have not all walked a perfect life on this earth. And some of us have turned from God for a season. Me being one of them, I can tell you there have been many people in my life that have simply told me that I know better. I know the truth. Even the prompting of the Holy Spirit to bring me back. It's like we have to have that sensitivity to ourselves and to each other. This all comes from love. We must learn to walk in love. That is why Paul is telling us in Ephesians to abide in all humility. We need to humble ourselves before the Word of God, humble ourselves to God, so that as he continues to work in us, what is this work that he is going to do in us? It is to mature us in love. As the body of Christ, we are also called to build each other up, to edify each other up, so that we may all continue to grow unto the perfection and the fullness of the fullness of Christ. And in Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Imagine that grace. That is what we are called to. We are called to a greater maturity. We are called to live in an atmosphere, in a maturity that demonstrates just who Christ truly is, in knowledge, in understanding, in wisdom, in power, in the divine nature that we have. I was talking to Caleb and Janae yesterday, and some question was asked, I forget the question, but it was along the lines of basically, what do I see myself doing, you know, with ministry and with everything? And I believe the goal is, we live in a generation now. What would it be like if all of these cameras were on Jesus Christ as he lived in his day? Every miracle, as scripture says, he did so many good works that all the books could not contain what he did. What would it be like to have the visuals? How would that impact the world? Do we believe the words of Christ himself who said, you will do greater works because I go to my Father? And why was he saying that? Because the Holy Spirit had to come with the anointing and the power in order for us to be able to do these works. And Christ is not selfish. You see the grace in his words. You will do greater works because the Spirit is the Lord. And it is the Lord working within us all things good, pleasing, and wonderful and miraculous. We have to learn to believe in these what could seem unbelievable truths of the scripture. God has called us to this realm of living in order to live in a manner worthy of the calling. See just how glorious the calling is. See what it means to live in the power of the Almighty, to work signs, wonders, miracles, to heal, to speak the truth, to have wisdom, even as Stephen, that people cannot contend against. Think about that. To live a life that is completely selfless. There are two types of dangerous people. Well, there's really somebody very dangerous, and that's somebody who has nothing to lose. They will go at their goal with no reservation. We cannot lose what we have been given. So we need to live with that confidence. What does it mean to truly know that the promise, the inheritance, the power, everything is true in Christ? Then that will change the attitude of our hearts and how we live in this time and in our generation. We are called to be impactful. This is the calling that God has placed on us. What would it look like for somebody to encounter, as we were speaking in the previous passage, to be the tabernacle of God? At the tabernacle, there was a meeting. People came to meet with God, to meet with the presence of God. And here we are carrying around the presence of the Almighty, the loving God, the true and the faithful, the wonderful, magnificent God who wills that all men be saved and all come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. What does it look like when we live in the fullness of that? We look like Jesus. We look like Paul, who said, I want to know the power of the resurrection of Christ. I want to experience what that power is, what it means to move, to flow, to speak, to teach, to live daily in that power, the call of being filled and filled and filled and continuously filled, so that the impact of God may be seen in our generation. We spoke about this before. We will all stand before the Lord. And we speak of the greats and all the wonders they did. But Scripture says we have a better thing than they. We have the abiding Spirit of God. We need to practice the spiritual disciplines in order to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We need to no longer be double-minded concerning the Word of God. We need to have a singleness of heart. Thus the Lord has spoken, thus it is so. We need to understand the authority that God speaks with. He who calls the end from the beginning. That is such a marvelous capacity to have. I am the Lord God. My word is established forever. Who will contend? We have to walk in that strength. Who will contend against you? If Christ has conquered Satan and has led the host of captives captive, who then will stand against you? We have to have this faith and this assurance in us in order to change the attitude of our hearts concerning each other, concerning our calling, concerning our walk, concerning the Lord and his power. There has to be a repentance that works within us so that we see these things clearly as they are. Beloved, there are men amongst us who have lived like this. I don't know about you, but I want to partake. Scripture has been written. We have, the Hall of Fame of Faith and all these people and all the wonderful things they did. But the Bible instructs us in this simplicity. It is because they believed. Abraham believed. Even though he could not see, he believed. What was that faith? He got up and he went according to the word of God. That is what we need. We need to take that example and truly have faith. Faith is not something we speak. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say?" Faith is seen in action. Faith without works is dead. And what will we do with a dead faith? It produces nothing. But Christ has called us to produce fruit and fruit that may abide. Beloved, our calling is great. It is great. There is passages upon passages that just show and demonstrations of people that Christ took from fishing boats and made them to be those who now we look up to as great and wonderful men of the faith. We see these marvelous things. We read in Scripture of the supernatural working of God, but do we believe it in ourselves, for ourselves, and for each other in this time? Is the word of God not still alive and active? Does it still not work? Is God not alive and well, seated on the highest throne, guiding and guarding our lives? Let fear not hinder us, for the Almighty is with us. Let doubt not be a stumbling block to us, because God is true and he has demonstrated his love in the faithfulness of the suffering of Christ. Let not man hinder us, because who is man to the Lord Most High? What is the word of creation against he who has spoken all things into being? Do not allow yourselves to be hindered. Know the truth. Understand the word of God. Walk in love. Persevere in it. Endure in it. For great is your reward. We were talking in Ephesians, and we were touched upon the armor of God and how that edifies and helps us put on the helmet of salvation, the forward looking onto the glorious day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let that edify you and energize you to wake up every day knowing that there is a reward so great, so marvelous, so true, sealed in Christ, hidden in Christ in God, which will be given to you at the revelation of Christ, that you decide to work for that. The scripture tells us, labor not for things that fade on this earth, but to invest in the things above. That is what maturity is. That is what we are called to when it says live up to your calling. It is the shift of mentality. We must be heavenly minded. We must be mature. We must set our hearts on the things above. And we must know that this world and its ways will fade and pass away. Why invest in an investment you know will not pay in the end? The scriptures have been given to us for the rebuke, for the correction, for admonishing. There is so much we can learn from it. But now we personalize it into ourselves. How am I walking before the Lord? What am I doing in secret? What am I thinking of in my heart when I think no one knows? How am I responding to anger, to frustration, to insult, to hard times and circumstances? Is it faithful? Is it trusting in God and for all things? Am I rejoicing in suffering as the scripture calls us to? It is not an easy thing to obtain, but it can be obtained to learn to rejoice in hard times and in suffering because you have all that you need. God is with you. We have the post-Pentecost Emmanuel that is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We have a better thing. So let us lean on the Lord. Let us trust in God. Let us hold up our character and our manner of life to the truth of God's word, the revelation of Christ's teaching. And let us measure ourselves again and test ourselves, as scripture says, see if you are still walking in the way. Test yourself. And if you're not, repent. To those who are strong and are walking upright and are fortified, the Lord bless you and continue to strengthen you and edify you. To those who are practicing the principles of Christ truly with the witness of the Spirit, the Most High continue to prune and produce fruit in you. To those who are wavering, be careful, because the enemy seeks to seduce those who are double-minded. Edify yourself. Read the word. Understand the truth. You have a church or you have a pastor. Seek community. Learn. Seek revelation. Pray so that you will not be captured into this world and you will not live a life oppressed by the enemy or your flesh. To those who have walked away, come back. The Lord beseeches you, come back. Repent. Return. The Father waits with open arms. It is a great joy to see a brother and sister that has lost the way come back and to be fruitful and to walk in the love of God. Let us hold these things in heart and in mind. Return to the Lord. To those who are backsliding, the Lord is willing to heal. Return to Him. The love of God covers the multitude of sins. The cross of Christ has paid the price. And to those who are without, who do not trust and believe in the Lord, we beseech you, give your life to Christ. Know the truth. Know the Lord. Understand the message of the gospel that God is love and He sent His Son to die for each and every single one of us. May God strengthen us and edify us in our walk. May the Lord God who grants endurance continue to fortify our steps by the power of the Spirit. May He grant our minds to be clear and to understand the truth and to be unwavering with conviction concerning the word of Christ. He who in whom was found no lie and no guile, His word is worthy of being trusted. We bless the Lord and may we stand for prayer. Beloved, I would like for all of us to remember the charge of God. That God in His love has lavished us and has blessed us and has called us into a holy life of love and of unity, of peace, of sharing his word and the truth of Christ. Father, we bless your holy name and we give thanks unto you, for all good things come from you. We exalt you, Lord God, that we have been able to sit in your presence and hear your word. We pray that you, the everlasting God who causes all things to grow, may empower your people with the spirit of revelation, opening our eyes to the truth so that our hearts may be nourished by that which is good, which is your word. We pray, Lord, that much fruit may be born of this, that we may take hold of our lives, of our walking, that we may be conscious of what it is that we are doing, that you, O Lord, the everlasting God, will help us to sanctify our hearts and our minds through obedience and obedience of your word. May Christ be exalted in us by the faith that dwells in us that produces the fruit of the life of Christ Jesus our Lord. May each in his calling know to revere the Lord God Almighty, to respect he who is exalted above all, who stands above all, who has created all and is glorified above all creation. For every house is built by someone, and he who builds the house is to be honored more than the house, and the Lord has created all things. May the preeminence of Christ dwell in our hearts richly. May the love of Christ flow in us. May the rivers of living water help us to sanctify our tongues, and our tongues being seasoned with salt, so that we know how to respond to each and every single person in every situation. May our hearts, by the spirit of humility, bow to your word. May we consciously, O Lord, with effort and the strength by the spirit, continue to seek you with all our hearts, all our minds, our souls, and our strength. May you, the Lord God, be exalted and glorified in us by the accomplishing of the purposes, your divine purposes in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. We pray healing and restoration. We pray, O Lord God, for the ears that have heard this, that those who are walking away may repent and return to you. May they know that you love them dearly and deeply, O Lord, that you sent your Son. May the whispers of the enemy be silenced. May the deception, O Lord, of this world, the swaying of lust of the flesh be silenced by the light of Christ that richly dwells within us. Father, be glorified, be exalted. May our bodies be healed in the name of Jesus, so that we have the physical strength to carry out your word and to live a life blessed and rejoicing over the wonderful works that you do in our midst. Holy Father, be exalted. Bless your people, O Lord. May this be a time of contemplation that after this, there will be change in your house. We want to, O Lord, expel all that is the world. We want our hearts circumcised, and we want your church to be pure. Holy is the Lord God Almighty who called us, and he has called us to a holy life. May the Spirit of God be with you all in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the never-failing love of God our Father. We bless your holy name, O Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.